We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every day.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 59. Almost forgot 10. All right, sorry. I'm Ray from ramblingsofatvwhore.com.
I'm Jason the TVaholic from tvaholic.com.
And I'm Amory from mytakeontv.com, but you may know me as Amory. Because it's used quite often. But whatever.
Oh,
I haven't laughed a lot. I haven't laughed a lot on the podcast to please all those haters out there. I make no promises today.
And then you go and ruin it right there.
I make no promises. Anyway. How's everybody?
All right. Fine.
Good.
I have heat again, so I'm good.
Oh, good. I have 87 feet of snow outside my window. Yeah. I swear, it's so tall. Like, they're over me. It's over my height. And it's just like there's ice shards in it, and it's never going to melt. I'm going to have snow until June.
Don't fall into it, Amory.
Can you imagine? What would happen? I would be stuck in a pile of snow. Oh, my God. That's why I haven't taken my trash out, because I'm afraid of that very reason.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I need that excuse.
I'm afraid of falling into the snow.
Sadly.
Okay. Anyway. Unrelated.
Thing. All right. Sorry.
Let's talk about the news. ABC has picked up a second season of Shaq Versus for the summer. So good for Shaq. Like, oh, did enough people watch that? Oh, and they also picked up Dating in the Dark.
Ugh.
That's not on our list, but I just wanted to hear Ray go, or whatever sound that was. Yeah, I didn't watch either. So
I was hoping nobody watched, but apparently somebody
apparently
did.
Enough people watched that they brought it back. And since nobody has anything more to add to that, moving on. And what should come as no surprise, because CBS, boy, they just don't give up. Alex O'Loughlin, stone cold fox that he is, and Daniel Dae Kim have officially been cast in the Hawaii Five-0 remake for CBS, playing Steve and the other guy. Now might be a good time to say that I've never seen an episode of Hawaii Five-0.
I think you mentioned that before.
Anyway, what does everybody think
Danny?
About this cast? What?
Never mind.
He's playing the Asian guy.
I know who he's playing. Thank you. Thanks for stating the obvious, Amory.
Oh, Amory. All right. I know, but everybody was thinking it.
It takes quite the acting. Quite the yeah. acting job to pull it off, but.
So there's that.
Yeah, I don't know about. I'd be interested to see what they do, but when I think of Hawaii Five-0, I don't know. Alex O'Loughlin doesn't seem like he would be McGarrett. I don't know.
Yeah, they're just going to throw him at the wall of TV shows until it sticks. They are never giving up on this man, ever.
He's good looking.
He is. He's a stone cold fox. But anyway, that's Hawaii Five-0.
They put him in some jeans and a t-shirt. I'm sorry, go on.
You too.
Not to be superficial or anything.
Yeah, maybe somebody else can complain about Ray talking about hot guys instead of me. My biggest bone to pick.
And he'll be an ace so he can go swimming.
Oh, my God. So
he's really good looking,
Osceola,
did I mention?
Right? Osceola throws out there. Exclusive. Fifth season of Friday Night Lights to be its last. No shit. Like, we all knew that. I don't know. Or we all suspected it so much that it didn't have to be an exclusive. Clearly, they gave them two seasons to wrap up the story. Was this a surprise to anybody?
Didn't he say exclusive about them signing O'Loughlin, too?
He says exclusive about everything.
My point.
But yeah, so the fifth season of Friday Night Lights will be its last. And just a reminder, we will get the fourth season of Friday Night Lights starting on April 30th. And it will seem very out of place because it's football season in April. I'm sure once it's on and like I see the fourth season and then I see the fifth season, I'll be sad that it's going. But right now I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm accepting it. I know it's going to be over. Thank you.
Well, that's kind of you still have two seasons to two short seasons, but still two seasons of episodes to look forward
exactly.
to.
Exactly. It's not going to be over until like 2012 at the rate it's going. We've got plenty of time. Former SNL member Molly Shannon has been cast on Glee. And even though Ray has read this email, Ray, do you want me to say spoiler alert?
No, it's fine.
As an enemy of Jane Lynch's Sue Sylvester. I know Ray is not a fan of Molly Shannon, but I am.
I can take her in small doses.
Right. And I have a feeling she won't be used in small doses on Glee, so.
I know, that's the unfortunate thing. I actually liked her on she was on Pushing Daisies, right?
Was she? Yeah. Yeah, she had one episode.
I liked her in that role, so maybe I'll be okay with it.
Maybe.
I like her in some things, I'm just.
I like her, I'm 50. I love that lady. Love it. So that's that. The CW has announced two reality shows, High Society and Fly Girls, to follow the upcoming season of America's Next Top Model. Season 872 of America's Next Top Model. It's important to point out that I don't know that any of the top models have actually become top models.
Do we ever even hear about them again?
No. Nope, you don't. Unless they appear in a top model, like, fashion show on Top Model. So there's that. High Society is about Tinsley Mortimer and her manufactured relationship with Constantine Maroulis. I don't know. Some girl. And okay. Fly Girls is about Virgin America Airlines stewardesses or flight attendants. What are they called now? Flight attendants?
Yes, flight attendants.
I don't want to offend anybody. Though I do know that stewardesses is the longest word you can type on your left hand on the keyboard. So
thanks for
there's that.
Random trivia.
That's all the news we could find or cared to find or Jason found and then I read it. Whatever. Oh, and other news, Katie Lang was amazing at the opening ceremonies of the Winter Olympics. And my mom texted me and I thought she was joking. God love her. She texted me and it said, is that Katie Lang or Wayne Newton? And I thought she was making a joke because she did resemble Wayne Newton. And I was like, oh, haha, they do look alike, but she sounds fantastic. And she was serious. She couldn't.
Well.
Oh, Mom. So that's the news. It's time now for Prime Time Running Together. I did say last week on the podcast that I wanted Hang Time on DVD, didn't I?
You did.
Yes.
Okay. Just thought I'd point that out again. Ray was too busy to watch TV this week. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I didn't watch half the stuff on my DVR either. And we were going to talk about House, but my Fox did not record with any sound. So I didn't want to watch an hour of TV and not hear it.
It's probably a good call.
Yeah. I thought so.
You think you probably would have missed a few things?
Yeah, like all
like
of
most
talking.
Of it.
So anyway, our first show of the week in prime time is Chuck versus First Class The Mask. Is that really what it was called?
No, it's called The Mask. That's a typo.
Copy paste error.
That's right.
Season 3 episode. Did you love how I just read it? Like, I'm sure that's right. Season 3 episode 7, Chuck versus The Mask. Hold on, you guys. I forget what this episode was about. Oh, no. I remember. It was the episode that...
They were trying to get the mask?
Ruined the show, according to, like, 50% of the viewers. I don't fall into that 50%.
Or at least the...
Here's my comment
the vocal
on the
minority.
Here comes Ray. Go for it.
No. My comment on that is that those people have been stewing about what they thought was coming forever.
Right.
So when it exactly. finally got here, they just flipped out. Like, it, in proportion yeah. to the episode itself, it, like, made no sense. Because I watched the episode and I was like, what the hell are people so
yeah,
upset
exactly.
about?
Exactly. I mean, so. Exactly. So for people that, spoiler alert, from like, for people who haven't watched it yet, here's what happened. Basically, Chuck and Sarah are going to pursue other love interests. And the silent minority, or whatever, the vocal minority, as Jason's calling it, decided that that meant that we should boycott the show, and that'll prove to advertisers and the writers that we don't like this storyline. No, that'll prove to the advertisers that they need to cancel it. Like, what are people thinking? I thought it was a good episode, but I thought that there were some things that were just like, really? I don't know. we're just supposed to believe that Hannah comes along and has no idea and she almost dies and then she still doesn't realize. I don't know. Not my favorite episode.
I think she should question it, but I'll give him an episode before I question that because we didn't really get to see her react to it this time. We just saw her relief at not dying. So.
Oh, you saved my life.
Well, see, that made sense to me because she got locked in the vault. She could easily, you know, comes to and think that she got locked in the vault and they called Chuck to come open the vault. And
maybe.
Except she didn't get locked in the vault, like, by herself, just getting locked in the vault. Like, something happened to make her locked in the vault, so that in itself would make her question what was going on.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm going to give them a...
The guy pointed her in there, and she walked in, and then it started closing, and...
Did he say something about, like, let's see if your boyfriend can get you out of this, or something like that?
I don't remember, but I didn't find that one to be... I mean, people were questioning, like, her response to that, and it made sense to me. So the thing that didn't make sense to me, and it's not because they're putting, you know, Chuck and Sarah with other people temporarily... that's the thing to get all, yeah. To get all, when you know it's temporary, that I didn't see, it seemed like the Sarah and Shaw was like, boom, it came out of nowhere, sort of.
It did.
Like in just this episode. I mean, there was the one line, you know, in a previous episode of, that they had both made the mistake of falling for a fellow spy and had lost them, giving them sort of a connection, but it didn't play to me as like a romantic connection necessarily, just that they had a, something similar happen. And then this episode, all of a sudden by the end of it, there's a potential romantic match. I see that they were trying to, you know, have this episode end with them both being sort of in that place. But the way the story in the episodes flowed, it made sense for Chuck and Hannah. They had the obvious chemistry on the plane and another episode in between, and then, you know, the events of this episode, that one made sense. The other one seemed like it got sped up too fast so that it would be, you know, at the same time as Chuck.
Right.
And I think that may be, again, a part of the speed at which they're cranking through things in what was originally going to be a 13-episode season.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I am not giving either up. That, I love the show. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say either that or there's a little bit more to her reason for accepting.
Exactly. Which is why these people who were like, oh my God, she's moving on. Yeah, she's moving on. But you know that Sarah and Chuck are star-crossed lovers, right? Like, you get that, right? Like, that's the storytelling device that's been used since the beginning of the show. And in order to make them... Because, you know, people complain about the will-they-won't-they never ending. Let them go out and have other couples and realize that they belong together kind of situation. So just trust the writers. The show is about more than just their relationship. I'm in for the long haul, and I think...
Well, that's the other thing is the people that are watching the show strictly for their one main thing is the Chuck-Sarah pairing. Mm-hmm. And that's mainly why they're watching. To them, I say... Okay, if they get them together, then what are you going to do then? Like,
I'd rather have them apart and get together once and have it lovely than get together, break up. Because it has to serve the story. And if the story continues, like, they can't be writers will go to their graves saying you can't be happy in a healthy relationship. Though I proved to you The Office can do it well with Jim and Pam, whatever. But they do the breakup, makeup all the time that... I would get annoyed with it.
Except that there was like four seasons of will Pam and Jim ever get together before...
Right.
They, you know, they got together. And I think that you can do something, but I think that it fits well with the story that they're trying to tell now of Chuck with the upgrade and, you know, and him having made the choice to become a spy to see if he actually... can go that route. You know that at the end that he's not going to become the solo spy because the show would be over if he had no team, no team around him and stuff. So there's just basic things in there that you start complaining about. And the other stuff is they're like writing like the finale You know, they're like writing the season finale now, so the show is set already. So yeah. You're just going to have to deal with the, you know, certain things that you don't like. And part of the problem is that there's the Olympic break, and so you don't get to see what happens in the next episode right away.
And there wasn't supposed to be a break when they wrote this episode. So
yeah, because it originally was going to start after the Olympics. And so
Yes. This
episode would have just came, and the next week there would have been the next episode that we have to wait till.
So our
March
advice
1st.
To you is to hold out hope, enjoy the show, and don't overthink it, and don't hurt yourself trying to boycott a show that you tried so desperately to save.
Did anybody else notice sort of like the at the end of the episode, like when Shaw is like giving the neck massage, did anybody else think that he had like the look on his face? You were like, wait, what the hell?
Yeah.
Because
that's
the other thing that makes me question is what's really going on with him?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's Chuck. You all understand our point, right? Moving on to Greek. Greek, season 3, episode 13, Take Me Out.
Ball game.
Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. Okay, anyway.
Because when she's at the ball game, she's got to eat.
That's not true, because it's too expensive. Got to be honest. I'd rather spend my money on a giant beer.
Enough of that.
Enough of that. Greek, what'd you guys think? Ray, what'd you think?
It was okay.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I didn't
I don't have anything.
Yeah, like it wasn't groundbreaking. Nothing really new came out.
Did that relieve your fears about Ashley, though?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I did love Beaver trying to impress her, though. I thought it was hilarious.
I like that he kept like winking at Cappy, but he didn't really know why he was winking at Cappy or what he was doing. No, what I liked in the episode was all the references to baseball and baseball movies and stuff throughout. They definitely had a lot of fun with that.
Yes, and I mean. What was I going to say? I love Catherine. I hope she stays around forever because I think that she is hilarious. And
I did love Casey smelling like the KT house and her not realizing it. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was just remembering that.
I thought that was pretty funny too.
I like how that she also kind of like the KT guys now. Like she went from dressing really nicely to being like a slob.
She just doesn't. Exactly. Didn't care about anything. I loved Cappy eating breakfast at the plate at the building or at their house. And then his silent, you know, or him trying to get to say no to the Omega Kai's. I thought that was awesome. I'm over the Omega Kai Capitale feud, though. I'm sick of it. I'm done.
I know. They need to bring that to a conclusion.
But I love Calvin and Heath, so.
Now, Catherine is the... She's the one from the other house that...
She's the one from Panhellenic that's from the other house.
Yeah.
Not the itty bitty president that's a pain in the ass, but the taller one who's just awesome.
Yeah, no, I like her, but what I like is that she almost seems more pissed off, like that she lost Casey as a potential friend.
Yeah,
and stuff than that her house got burned down.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think the way they're playing that is interesting.
Agreed. Yeah, so Greek, I just wish more people were watching because apparently it still has bad ratings that people are nervous it might get canceled. And I can't imagine my life without Greek, so get on that.
Here's
people.
My thing I do want to say about that.
Okay.
If ABC cancels it, I hope to God they let them finish it.
Yes.
Because it would kind of suck that this is the show that I think has gotten people watching ABC Family.
I agree.
And if they don't let them finish it out at least, because they could finish it pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't finish Kyle XY, and that, like, established the network, and then, you know, Kyle XY and Greek together kind of, like, made it a network that people were watching, and then they didn't let Kyle XY finish, and if they do that to Greek, I will never forgive them.
Right, because Greek could finish, because Casey is in her last semester, so...
Exactly.
I mean, their last year, right?
Right. Exactly.
I think that there should be, like, a rule that if you go... more than two seasons in a show and you decide to cancel it after that at some point, that you have to give some sort of ending, even if you do like a 2-hour movie or something,
right?
That you have to that you have to finish it out.
I think it's just goodwill with your viewers.
Exactly.
I think it would increase DVD sales later on, because I think some people might get it because they like the show. Some people might get it because they check it out. But some people might, you hear about a show that and it has no real ending, and you might not ever pick it up, like ever watch it, because you don't want to. You know ahead of time you're gonna get left off.
Right.
So I think some of those things would be, it'd always be a good idea. But yeah, especially
when we someday run networks, yeah, and that's.
Do you think it's the? I've never really paid too much attention to what the ratings of the show was on ABC Family, mm-hmm, and where it is now compared to where it's been. But you think that the 10 o'clock, hour is playing into that?
Oh yeah, I mean it hasn't helped it for sure. But then you think about it, it's moved away from shows that it has been trampled by. So you would think that it would be okay, but who knows?
Not really, because I think the audience it was getting was still up at those other times. They're not necessarily
that's
up
true
at 10 o'clock.
That's true. Because they have to go to school or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of a weird. Kind of a weird time slot for it.
I mean, they could have planned that better. Like, what they have. They have, what, 10 Things I Hate About You coming back? Where does that go? That go on its own night? They could have...
It's going to take over for on Mondays at 8.
But it's only a half an hour show.
I don't know what they're going to do with a second... With
don't
the
they
second
have another new
hour
comedy?
I don't know what they have. I haven't seen what... I've just seen that it's supposed to take over
the
8 o'clock time slot from Secret Life when that ends its season. And so I don't know what will play... I haven't seen.
I just feel like they could have built two. They could have built two solid nights instead of doing one night where shows might not get the viewership that they really should.
Or they could have brought it back to they could have brought Greek back a little later to
mm-hmm
play.
Or they didn't need to rush Make It or Break It back. Like Make It or Break It just ended. They could have pushed that a little bit. I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand it. I'm sure it has to do with money or whatever. So. There's that. So
yeah,
that's great.
Well, I hope they figure out something to, because I would like to see the show continue on for another season. Because
I mean, I understand the part where they probably can't go on for quite a while. I mean, if Casey's done, you can't really do the show. And people will maybe argue with me, but I don't see the show going on without Casey. And it's about Greek life, so they can't go beyond her senior year very much. But they're not to that point yet where they need to be completely done. They have time, so let's hope. That's Greek. Moving on. Catherine do that all the time. Moving on. Lost. Season 6, Episode 3, What Kate Does. I'll be perfectly honest. I don't give two flying rats' asses what Kate does. This episode?
So are you a Kate hater?
No, I'm not. I'm not by any means. I don't dislike anybody in the cast except... No, I don't dislike anybody in the cast. We didn't need this episode. What did it tell us? What did it do for us? Except that Jack asks what a baseball is. He doesn't know what a baseball is?
I don't think he meant it quite that literally as everybody's making fun of for, but...
It's just... I'm just... Like, if this premiere didn't do anything to answer questions for me, this made it worse.
I think that there is need for... setup episodes or there's things in this that you don't realize that you need to know yet. I think that's the problem with the people talking about this as being just a filler episode or that you don't need this episode. I think that you'll find out that we do need this episode and that there is stuff that happens in this episode that is important to where they're going by the end of the season, and that if you don't tell it somewhere, you can't get there. And we just have no idea what that is yet.
I think of it as a staging episode.
Yeah.
I understand the frustration with it.
Episode.
I understand the frustration with it, but I didn't have as big a problem as, like, you or John Cabrera or Mona.
Hey, John.
For that matter.
But there's things that, like, in, like, what you want to call it, a staging episode, that the next episode or an episode after that, somewhere along the line, something's going to happen, and that if you hadn't, you can't get there unless you set the stage. You can't.
Yeah, I.
You can't put the play on unless you set the stage, and so.
And here's where I argue that they've set the stage now 4 or 5 seasons.
No, but within
something should be happening.
No, but within what they're doing now to finish out the way they're telling the story now, it still needs things that happen.
I'd say, in my opinion, it was to move people around, meaning like they had to get certain characters for wherever they're going. I'm not necessarily arguing with you, Amory. I think even with this episode, they could make it a more interesting staging episode. However, that said, I do think that it was all about putting certain people in certain places on the island for the next whatever they're going to do. I could be wrong about that. I hope I'm not, but I think that's what it was about, if you ask my opinion.
Here's what I need. I need for Jin and Sun to reunite because I'm sick of them not being reunited. And I missed Ben. I missed fake Locke. I missed everything that we should have. I don't know. I'm not going to get anywhere by complaining about it, but I just... You know, I wish that there was more that we're getting. But anyway.
I said, luckily we have a new episode on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, luckily it's
so new. Hopefully you will get those things.
And I think that if I don't start getting answers, I mean, I've made it this point. I'm certainly not going to stop watching the show. But I don't know. I think I'm just, I'm trying to, like, stop expecting. Like, you know, I'm expecting too much. I'm trying to not. But, yeah, I expect too much. And then I saw a quote. Did you see what John posted on Tumblr? I saw a quote that was, like, from Damon. It's not going to end with, like, who shot JR. And half the people like it being ambiguous. And I think we're going to try and please everybody, which means they're not going to answer half the stuff that they need to answer. And I'm probably going to not be happy with the finale. But whatever. Whatever.
I like to see that you're lowering your expectations, Amory.
Already.
I think I need to lower my expectations.
That's what I'm saying. You're doing it right now by saying that you're not going to be happy with it. So now, yeah. Maybe you will.
I think that there's going to be lots of stuff that doesn't get answered or things that... But in the story that they're telling, ultimately, those things aren't important. They may be important to some people that have been watching the show that have just been like, what the heck is that? But I think there's going to be some things that ultimately they're not important to the story that they've been telling.
Mm-hmm.
They're just asides and things to help confuse and allow them to continue for the length of time that they've gone telling this story.
I hope that they don't leave too many things unanswered, because then I'll feel bad for them, because every time they get interviewed, they're going to be asked about something.
Exactly.
I'll just say, can you tell us what the four-toed statue was?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway, that's Lost, right? Because I hope you start keep talking about Lost. Too. I'm going to punch something. Anyway, moving on to Psych. Much happier. Psych Season 4, Episode 11, A Very Juliet Episode. I felt like they got from A to B in this episode a lot with a lot of vagaries. I don't know. I just maybe think this guy could have stayed around for longer.
They figured out all of a sudden.
Yeah, it just felt like it all came together way too quickly. And maybe that's a sign that I didn't want to show it. Huh?
I said I would probably agree with that. However, it was the first episode that I've really enjoyed since they came back, so.
Oh, I think it was hilarious.
I've enjoyed the other ones, but this one was really funny.
I know what you mean.
This was, it was half a Tim Miltrager episode, which is the writer we met when we were on set way back when. And so far, I don't know, I like the episodes that he's been involved in. Not just because we've met him, I just, every time the episodes that he's either written himself or been part of the two that have written the episode, I find them to be some of my favorite episodes. Just, they're hilarious. I don't know who is responsible exactly for the scene with them going to the prison to talk to Arnold Vosloo's character, but that was hilarious. That whole exchange was one of the funniest things, you know, funniest bits they've had on the show in a while.
I loved the Carlton and Juliet conversation. Are we still on Greece? We never weren't. I think that was hilarious. I laughed out loud. But no, I agree with Ray. This episode, you know, even though it went from A to B kind of quickly, maybe I wasn't paying attention as much. I just felt really happy about the whole episode. You know what I mean? Like, I thought everybody was kind of on their game. It was really good. I hope it continues like that for the rest of the season, because I don't want a bunch of bummer episodes where I'm like, really? I didn't love it. I'm not as excited, but we'll see.
Yeah. The other thing I liked in the episode was the bit that they did with Sean noticing how he's touching Juliet and not really paying attention to, like, where they were actually, you know, doing the close-in flash on what he's noticing, and that he's not noticing anything about the case, but they were using that to show that he was, and that he didn't particularly, he was, you know, he didn't particularly like that. But I thought that was a fun use of, you know, something that they normally use just for, here's the clue that he saw that nobody else saw or whatever.
I like that it started with a Juliet flashback and not a...
Right, exactly. But I like that it ended with the promise that we may see this guy again.
In a year.
Yeah.
In a year.
So. It's not that really that long to go away yet.
Exactly. But we'll see. So all in all, kudos to the psych people. Very good episode. A very Juliet episode. Okay. Moving on to Ray's favorite show, The Vampire Diaries.
Favorite show that she doesn't watch ever.
Season one, well, we haven't talked about it in weeks, so we're going to touch on, like, I guess the past 4 weeks. I don't really have anything to really say about it, but just that I watched it and like it. But episode 11, 12, 13, 14, Bloodlines, which is the first one back, Unpleasantville, Children of the Damned, and Fool Me Once. So,
yeah, I've just kind of been adding each episode since we've been not talking about it.
Right. So what we've seen since we came back from break was we heard why Damon wants to open the tomb, how to kind of open the tomb, what Damon's expecting. Stefan and Elena are fine. Bonnie's using her witchery. And then we ended now with the tomb is open. And surprise, surprise, what they all were expecting was not there. And here's the thing. I kind of expected nothing to be in there. Not that like, I didn't expect the vampires. I didn't, or Pearl, whatever. I kind of expected that Catherine wasn't going to be there. Did I think that she might be alive and out there somewhere? No. But, intrigue.
That was kind of a nice little twist, but also, when you think about it, kind of like, yeah, that makes sense. Because obviously they're not going to, when you think about it, they get the thing open. They're obviously not going to find her and take her out and, you know, because...
I mean, if Catherine's around, like, the show's kind of got to be over because, not over, but... taking it to a whole different level. My one complaint I do have is, Jeremy, okay, so he meets Anna, right, in the library. They start, and this is the first episode back, they start talking about vampires and how vampires exist. And he's all against that. And he doesn't think vampires exist. It's all allegorical. It's the Union soldiers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So by the end of the fourth episode, he's Googling vampire, or I'm sorry, looking vampires up on Bing.
Yeah.
You already talked about vampires. You already read about vampires. Why are you suddenly now like, oh, I should look up vampires? What is going on?
Well, they needed to put
to do something more with that character because I'm done with him. And I'm glad that Matt Davis is now a series regular. Alaric. I love him. And I just think that the show has been great, and they gave us a good way to end it, kind of wait a couple weeks to see what happens next, and I don't know. I'm just loving it, and I feel bad that I hated it in the beginning, and now, I mean, I still think that a lot of the acting is wooden, and it's certainly not the best show on TV, but it's good, campy, fun, and I love the Salvatore brothers so much.
I liked, what is it? I guess it's Bonnie's grandmother.
Oh, Whitley! Oh, Whitley! From a different world.
It was a sad ending to the ep, but at the beginning, she was badass.
Yeah. Oh, she's totally badass.
Damon says, "Why don't you step out here and tell me?" So she does, just like, but puts she's some totally sort of whammy awesome. On him, and then walks back into the house. That was an awesome scene.
I think they're doing good stuff. I think that having Damon and Elena start to have a friendship, since in the books they're so much a triangle, she loves both brothers, like starting them on this friendship and starting them on the journey towards the eventual triangle, even though they, like, the writers keep saying, oh, Stefan's her true love. Exactly. In the books he was too, but she also loved Damon. So they have to kind of stick close to that.
Yeah,
so it's good to see that that's starting.
That's the only thing, like, long-term I see sort of a problem with the show is Damon's already, like, killed multiple people in the town.
Right.
And so, you know, ultimately it's like how, you know, if you're the, if you're the good brother and you don't think this type of stuff should be happening, I mean, he did try to put his brother, you know, trap him down in the dungeon, basically, in that basement of their house for a while. But how do you just sort of let that continue to go on? And then if you're other, you know, other people that know, how do you let that, how do you sort of let that continue on? Or how do you even sort of feel sad for him that he, I guess, that he's done all these bad things and then couldn't get what he was trying to get to? I don't know. I think that's the only, like, problem I have with the show is, like, long term is, like, how long can you go with the bad brother who actually has contributed to multiple people?
I mean, he's still going to stay bad. He's never going to be, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's like, how long do you put up with that? I mean, I sort of get the brotherly thing where you're, but I don't know. That's the only thing that as it goes on, you keep going, okay, how do you just let this keep going on, so to speak? Right.
So that's the Vampire Diaries. 4 weeks of the Vampire Diaries. Now we'll have a new episode on March 25th.
Yeah, that's a... Move on. That's a long...
It's not that long.
It's not that long, but it's... I don't know. It's long decently enough. Long.
Yeah.
Although it's not like... It's not like what they've done with 90210 and Melrose Place that don't come back until March either, but have been gone since last year. I think the CW scheduling has been kind of strange. Is I get that they want to do, you know, a lot more straight through episodes and stuff like that without lots of repeats, but
they're not doing any favors to their shows that are already suffering.
Yeah.
So another show that we're getting back on the 25th, which I guess feels like a longer wait, even though it's the same night, because I love this show so much more, Supernatural, season 5, episode 14, My Bloody Valentine.
Bloody is right.
It was gross. It was really gross.
Really, really gross. Like, make you gag, kind of gross.
The toilet brush? Ugh.
All of it. The eating?
I know.
Seriously, that is so gross.
I feel like Fred Armisen. I can't, but like, and then this happened anyway. Good episode though, but it's so gross that it was like hard to concentrate. I don't know. I like Dean when he's all demoned out. I mean Sam. Dean doesn't get demoned out, you guys. Sam eats demons and then feeds
demon,
gets their blood.
Dean is then, empty inside, apparently.
Yeah, Dean has nothing. He wants for nothing. And then Sam eats things and kills things. And is famine gone? Like, did he kill famine? Or did he just zap it of its power?
I think he zapped it of it. I don't think he can actually kill... That's what he said. He can't kill famine itself. He can kill the demons that famine was consuming to keep it... To give it power.
Oh, right. What did they do? So what did they do with war, though? Because did they just banish war, too? Because they cut his ring, right?
Yeah, I can't remember.
What are the other two?
They took his ring off, didn't they? They got his ring, didn't they?
Yeah.
Pestilence, famine, war. I don't remember the fourth one. It's going to bug me now. Yeah, I didn't think the episode was as great as other people thought it was. I mean, I thought it was good.
People loved it. I think the grossness factor kept it for me from being a number one show. God.
Well, there was a lack.
Oh,
my
death.
Number ones
death
were always the one
accident.
To have
humor.
What?
Death is another. Death is the fourth horseman.
Yeah.
So.
Pestilence, war, famine, and death.
Yeah.
And they took war's ring, right?
Right. And which death was like in Arkansas or something.
What?
And they met up with death is out there like getting everybody.
Right.
They haven't met up with
Death
yet.
Sam. Sam. They haven't met.
Did you just slap something with your face?
My arm.
Oh.
Not like slap it. I just like my hand fell on my arm. Anyway.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
I wasn't slapping myself. I enjoyed it. Cupid was funny.
Yes. And I like that there's like a bunch of Cupids out there. Not just one.
Yeah.
And I like the growing theme too that everything has been planned for, like that there is no free will, like the conversation that he had with Michael where there's like no free will or whatever, that John and Mary were brought together so that the boys would be born, so that this could all happen. And then, I don't know.
I'm going to guess that they are going to show us that there is free will with these guys. Like, because they're kind of implying that there was no free will up till now.
Right.
I'm going to guess that the resolution to the season will be them enforcing their free will.
Right.
But anyway. So I thought it was a good episode.
Not the best. Yeah, that's where I stand, too.
Exactly.
We're always on the same page on Supernatural. I love it.
Yeah. And I could March do without 25th. ever seeing two people eat each other again.
Yes. Ever. If I never have to see that again, that'll be great. Poor Misha
Thanks.
Collins. I mean,
Thanks
like,
for ruining all love makeout scenes for me, Eric Kripke and company. Yeah.
Kudos. What do you think the raw hamburger that Misha had to like pretend he was eating?
Oh my God. So nasty.
Oh, anyway, these are the things I think
I don't
about.
Know. I'm sure it was some like, It could have been sweet because you can make something sweet look like, you know what I mean? Like you could make a dessert look like.
Yeah. I'm just getting the chills thinking about how gross it was.
Gross.
Okay. So that's Supernatural back on March 25th. That's the end of prime time. But I did want to add something. Somebody I put out there, I was like, what do you want us to talk about? And Melody said we should talk about Caprica. And I just have one thing to say about Caprica. I am fast forwarding through the majority of the episodes. Like, I'll watch the first 5 minutes, see what the point of the episode is, fast forward, watch the last 5 minutes and be like, okay, yeah, I get it. And then I didn't have to watch some of the horrid, horrid acting by a mutual friend. So I won't say who it is. But everybody agrees. With not my friend.
I haven't been
my
saying much friend. About Caprica because I watched the episode so long ago.
Right.
That when they came out.
Sorry.
Oh. Anyway, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that I watched the episode so long ago that when they came out that I've sort of forgotten what's gone on.
Nothing of note.
And then, you know, no new episode this week. And so I'll be, you know, maybe as it goes forward for the next few episodes when I'm watching it on a weekly basis, might have a few thoughts
on
Caprica.
Yeah, time just moves slower than snails on that show and I can't deal with it. So once everybody finds out that there's a human inside the robot body or whatever, I'll be a lot happier. But until that day, I'm just going to watch with my jaw clenched. So that's it. That's us. Sweet.
I will say one thing is the...
No, it's not.
The need... Now that, well, you mentioned the human in the... Is the decision to film, you know, scenes going back and forth between, like, you're seeing the person, but it's actually the robot that's there and stuff. I think that ultimately that's, like, too confusing. You don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I sort of understand why they've done that is so that the actress continues to have a job other than when they're in the virtual world.
Right.
But that sort of, I can't remember, there was something else. There was another show recently that did something similar to that I was just like, that's so not needed. We get it type of thing that I think they could have went without that, but that's the only thought I have on Caprica as of right now that you made me think of the way you said something. But what I can talk about is I can give a Buffy update.
Oh, yes. Where are you now?
And that I am finished with season 5.
Nice.
I finished season 5 of Buffy and season 2 of Angel. So
season 5 ending. It's very emotional.
She saved the world a lot.
Yes. Agreed.
I've maybe watched Buffy a few many times if I know the epithet on her. Anyway,
I know that was.
What did you think of it?
That was. I love that. That was funny. That was sort of a little a nice little sort
her
of
death was funny.
No, the epitaph on the
Buffy's death.
Okay.
Was funny.
No, the epitaph on the of such a sad episode, but then there's like a little joke in there, like she saved the world a lot. No, it was a good episode and for the most part a really good season. Definitely enjoyed it more than season 4. And from other people on Twitter and stuff like that who seem to like not like Dawn, I don't have a problem with Dawn. She doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I just hate her. Not Dawn. My ongoing feud.
Yeah, well, you just don't like
Yeah, Michelle Trachtenberg.
The actress.
I hate her. Oh my God, you guys, she might be my new Gabrielle Union.
Gabrielle and I called a truce. I don't think it might. She might. I'm pretty sure she is.
Yeah, but did Gabrielle you like her when she was? How did you feel about Dawn when she was on the show?
Hated Dawn.
I mean, I'm just curious about you.
Yeah, I was not a fan of Dawn.
I mean, I'm not a fan of Michelle Trachtenberg, but I have no problem with Dawn. I mean, in the sense that I guess it was the first time I realized I saw her in Harriet the Spy, but it was the first time I really saw her in something. So to me, it's okay. Her acting still isn't good, but it's, you know what I mean? Like she plays the same role every time, basically, in my opinion. So,
right, I agree.
Like she doesn't really have that range.
But I think playing sort of the bratty younger sister.
That's what I mean. I have no problem with her here because that's what she is.
I think she does, you know, fine with the...
Yeah.
And sort of as, you know, in some respects, as a sort of a newcomer where you're doing something regularly. But the storyline, I don't mind... Because I've seen, you know, I get a lot of comments where which is funny to me, is I love season 5 except every scene that Dawn was in. And you're just like, well, that's like...
She's in a lot.
I was like, well, that's like half the season then that you didn't really like. Since there's quite an integral...
She's in one of my favorite scenes, though, in the body. That last scene.
Is that?
In the morgue where Dawn finally...
Where she...
Goes down. Like they... Mm-hmm. And she has to see the body again.
Mm-hmm.
That episode was just really good all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many good scenes in that. I mean, everybody gets something good. But the opening sequence. I'm watching it with the director commentary or director writer commentary. You know, with the Whedon talking gives you some other where you don't necessarily realize it totally. But you know, like that the first sequence was all just one long, you know, take. There's the mm-hmm. like the first. Real, there's no real cuts in there. The first cut is when she looks at the phone or whatever that opening sequence is, you know, is great and lots of other stuff, but, like, the scene where Buffy tells Dawn and the way that ultimately came out, like, you hear in the commentary that he filmed it, like, a couple different ways but this scene and you, where you see her fall, but you see, like, the reactions of, like, the teacher and other stuff, and then I thought just, and then showing what they were drawing, which is a very interesting, where you're doing a drawing where the thing is gone in the drawing, is made for, you know, just the whole scene was really good, and the ending, like you were talking about, was good, but I thought one of the best scenes in the whole thing is, Emma Caulfield scene.
Oh, that, yeah.
Jeez. In the room with her why, you know, with her normal sort of inappropriate, but then you realize she doesn't get a lot of this stuff, and this is her first time coming to terms with, you know, her, you know, not just, like, with her mortality for, and, and stuff, and just the way that scene was played, that was, I mean, that whole scene between all of them, where they're kind of just standing there, they're not talking, they are talking, Willow continually changing, but her, where you finally see that, you know, where these questions are coming from, I thought that was a great scene for her, where she sort of became more than just sort of like, you know, the comic relief, the Cordelia replacement.
Right.
But yeah, that episode was great, and I like the season so far. My opinion of Angel so far, as opposed to Buffy, is that Angel through the first two seasons is more like steady.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't, like looking back, I can't think of an episode of Angel where I would put it on the plane as with like the body or Hush, you know, when that's just outstanding. But there's also I can't think of an episode that I would put it in the lower echelon with some episodes of Buffy that were terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it's been like an even keel. It's sort of especially, you know, looking at the seasons that it went with, like seasons 4 and 5 of Buffy, there's definite lows in season 4 and definite highs in both season 4 and season 5, and then a lot of episodes in between. And then Angel is just seems to be, they're just good solid episodes each time out.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's where we are, guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, do you have episodes that you think?
No. There's just a lot of season 2 of Angel that I don't really care for.
Yeah, me too.
Probably almost all of season. Actually, I actually had to look up the seasons to see because.
So in like season 2, you would say there are some lows.
Yeah, because I didn't really care for the whole Darla storyline and the. I mean, I liked it the first time around, but when I rewatch Angel. I watch an episode of Angel every day almost. So when I rewatch it, that's always the one where I kind of drift out of watching it every day until they get back to the episodes that I love, which start in Pylea. Hmm. So yeah, there are some that I don't care for, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, it's their own.
Yeah. Just for me watching it for the first time, I'm just, I can't, when I'm watching an episode, there hasn't been a time watching Angel where I'm just like, oh my God, when is this episode going to be over? And oh my God, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Or stuff like that, where I've had that experience in some of the, especially in season 4 of Buffy. But
I think if we continue this conversation, somebody's going to start to cry.
But overall, I just think it's mostly been solid that for me as a first time viewer. I mean, maybe, you know, if I were watching it again, I might find other things.
Right. In watching old TV story news, I am still in season 6 of The West Wing. I just watched my second Jimmy Smits episode, and damn, he was perfect on that show. So I can't wait to see what happens.
Well, I have to say, you watch the rest of where that goes, and I wish that they had gone another season with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know, a lot of people think that.
I think they had actually...
But they were just not getting the viewers.
Unfortunately, they had gotten back to form, but
right.
It had been on too long and lost too many people that they weren't going to come back.
Exactly.
So that's quickly, it.
Yeah, right. Go.
Sorry. I just wanted to bring up, because we talked about it pre-show last week, but then we didn't talk about it on the show, that Keith wanted us to talk about Californication. But I didn't watch this past season, and it was so long ago that... Amory and Jason don't really.
I just remember that it was super depressing, and I have no idea what they're going to do for season 4. There you have it.
I just wanted to tell Keith that we did talk about about it.
We did talk about
talking
about it.
I know that you guys answered them on Twitter.
Yes, exactly.
In the next episode, episode 60, we're looking at doing. You can look forward to a spring preview, where we're going to talk about what new shows are coming and what shows are finally returning, such as Glee and V and, gosh, other shows
v?
That rhyme with that.
Is that what you said? I thought you said Envy. I was like, Envy? What show is that?
Glee and V and, yeah.
Cool.
So we'll talk about we're looking forward to returning and when they'll all be back.
Because then Ray and I are off on an adventure and there's no guarantee that we have any idea what we're going to be doing, so.
Yeah, so after episode 60, there'll be probably a couple week break. But then the way I've been getting episodes out, I think it won't be quite as noticeable. I think the 2-week break may have come before episode 58. as these episodes come out, you won't notice much of a break. So.
All right. So that's us today, guys.
All right. So if you want to leave a message or, you know, any of that jazz, you can do so on our website at tvtimes3.com.
Spell it all out.
Jazz hands.
Yes. I did them.
Okay. Anyway, I don't remember what else I was supposed to tell you about. Twitter.
Go to Twitter and leave us iTunes feedback if it's nice.
Yes.
All that usual stuff I say, insert here.
Insert here. Listen to an old episode if you have questions.
Yeah, our music was provided by iodapromonet.com. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their merchandise title put out by Yellow Dog Records.
All right.
Nice. You got it. You got it all in the right order this time.
Yes.
I did.
I'm giving up meat for Lent, guys. So, oh God.
When's Lent
right.
start?
Wednesday. So today we're having steak.
A slight problem. I'm not gonna be- Why do you always give up meat when we're going to LA? I just want to know.
It's not that big of a deal.
No In-N-Out burger for you.
No In-N-Out burger for me. That's true.
Well, see, that's just wrong on so many levels right there.
I know.
That was my one disappointment of Comic-Con last year is I wasn't able to get to an In-N-Out burger.
I can still eat sticky bun waffles. Anyway.
I have never been to In-N-Out, and I got to be honest, I don't really miss it. All right, so.
All right. Yeah. Time to go.
Bye.
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 That was so weak. Anyway, okay, I'm off. I got to go. I got to do my laundry.
Okay.
I thought you were going to your parents. Goodbye.
I have to put my laundry in the dryer and then go to my parents. I already told you this story.
No, that must have been told before I was on the phone.
Okay. Anyway, because Ray was on.
All right.
It was pre-podcasting story.
Oh, good God. Well, okay, bye.
That was why Ray was invisible. You have to remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
All okay, right. For real. I'm hanging up. Bye.
We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
Okay, I hit the record button.
I should have saved my credit card story until you said that. Something completely unrelated to television. Go fig.
Oh, Amory.
It's okay. Oh, Amory.
Oh, 59. Sorry, I forgot momentarily.
I told her, okay, for the record, I told her 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, exactly. 2 seconds ago. But I quickly forgot. Anyway, sorry.
That darn short-term memory. It's really short-term.
Fun of me. All right, here we go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you sure? I'm Ray from ramblingsofatv.com, I think.
Did you just say ramblingsofatv.com?
Oh, yeah. I think she cut out.
Okay.
All right, I'll say that again.